I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. Right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And I'd like to read verses 16 and 17, and then the first verse in chapter 9. Ecclesiastes 8:16 through 9:1. Solomon, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, said, "When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous, the wise, and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them." Now, I want to do something that I should be thinking about doing every time I preach. I want to preach this morning like we have never heard the gospel before. This will be the first time you've ever heard the truth out of God's Word. Now, what we just read, Solomon had diligently studied wherein man's wisdom lies. And he observed the restlessness of men's minds and their bodies, and he observed all of the employments and their tireless concerns about worldly things. He said, "There's that which neither day nor night seeth sleep." What he said was, men worry about everything that they can possibly think of. And it's always worse at night. You always think things and they... Then he considered the ways of God as the Lord revealed himself through his word and all of the methods of God's providence to men, and he came to this conclusion that everything that God is doing in this world, that no man, no matter how wise he thinks he is, no man is able to fully or perfectly understand the things of God. We look around and we see what God's doing today. We hear all this stuff, politics and the virus, and you know. And what is God doing? I don't know. But I know this, that all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So, what Solomon said was, it's best for man not to perplex himself with the endless and fruitless inquiries about the matters of this world that he's never going to understand. We're not going to get it. We're going to leave this world not getting what God is doing. But he said it's best to quietly submit to God's will and His providence, and live in the fear and reverence of God, and to be thankful for the compassion of His blessing. Solomon concluded, he said, all this I considered in my heart. All the truth revealed in God's Word concerning man and all of the methods of His providence toward men, Solomon said, we don't know. He knew that all men were in the hands of God in the course of God's providence is according to His purpose. And all things that are going to fall out are going to be according to His will and His counsel, and they're going to stand. And though we don't understand what God is doing, we're assured that what the Lord does is right. Then Solomon said in that first verse, the latter part of that first verse in chapter 9, he said, no man knoweth either love or hatred. What does he mean by that? We cannot judge how God deals with any one person over another about whether the Lord loves that person as He loved Jacob or hated that person as He hated Esau. We don't know. Because the Lord, according to David, He said, David saw the wicked prosper. And David was suffering. And God chastens those that He loves. So we can't tell how, you know, what God is doing as far as one man over another, whether that man's prospering in health or money or what, or whether he's just a Lazarus that, you know, the dogs licks his soul. We don't know. So there's a lot of things that we're never going to come to the conclusion. But though all things we rest assured, we won't know the fullness thereof. There are some things that we need to consider. And it's matters of life and death. And there's some things that the Lord has hidden. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things of God belong to Him, those things that are hidden. But then He said, those things that are revealed, they belong to us and to our children. So I'd like for us to consider this morning some things that Almighty God has revealed and things that we do need to consider. Now, the things we don't know, we don't know. But there's some things we do know. And here's where I want to be very plain for just a few minutes. And I want us to just look at eternal things that we all need to consider. Here's the first thing that I want us to consider. That's what he said in verse 1 of chapter 9. Solomon said, all this I considered in my heart. I want us to consider the state of all men born into this world. Now this is something that we all need to consider. And only by the grace of God will any man or woman do it. The state of all men before God is this, born in Adam. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. That means all have violated God's law. That's what it means. Sin is the transgression of the law. That means that we've all disobeyed God. Now, all of us. All have sinned and come short. We've come short of His requirement for obedience. We've come short of His commandments. We've all come short of the glory of God, of the honor of God. Now, what is it going to take to be righteous before God? We must be holy. Now here's the thing. We're all guilty. We're all cut out of the same pit. There's none that have escaped the filthiness of sin's pollution. None of us. And none of us, left to ourselves, seek after God. We just don't care. None of us can or will do good. Now just, we need to consider where we are when we're born into this world. When it comes to our condition as being born in this world, Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, menstruous cloths. And we do all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Now, we're all born filthy. We're all born rebels. We're sinners against God. And what can we do about it? Job asked, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean?" And he answered it, "Not one." No one can change his position or his state of filthiness by himself. That's a lie. It's being told in a lot of places, but according to the Scriptures. Now, if this is the first time you've ever heard this, let me tell you this. We're all born sinners, rebels against God. Here's the second thing I want us to consider. Consider the one with whom all men have to deal. Isaiah 6, 1-3 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, Jehovah, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly, and one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory." Now this is the one that spoke to Moses. Same one that Isaiah saw sitting on the throne. This is the one that spoke to Moses at the burning bush and told Moses, "You take your shoes off. Where you're standing is holy ground." This is the one when the law was given to Israel on Mount Sinai. This is in Exodus chapter 19. The Scripture says that God was going to give His law to Moses. Exodus 19, verses 10 to 13. And men talk about God so disrespectfully. I saw something the other day. I'd heard this before. It just sounds so disrespectful to me. Something had happened and somebody wrote on it, "It's a God thing." I thought, "Don't you hush." Whenever God was going to give His law to Moses, Exodus 19, 10 to 13 says this, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount." When Almighty God was going to meet with Moses, He told Moses, He said, "You tell the people, don't you touch that mountain. God is holy. Now we hear that word, and I searched to find out, what does that mean? What does it mean, holy? The seraphims cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. What does holy mean? And to the best of my ability to find out what the meaning of holiness is, here's what it means. Separation. Separation. The complete otherness. Psalm 71:19 says, Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. O God, who is like unto Thee? So here we are. We're sinners. Filthy sinners. Rebels against God. And God is holy. Thirdly, consider our state then of separation from God because of sin. Consider this. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. It's not that God is unable to save. His hand is not shortened. That's what that means. He's omnipotent. That means all powerful. It doesn't mean He can't do it. It's not that He can't hear. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. He's not a dumb idol. He's not a stick or a piece of a rock or some kind of a graven image. He's holy. And sin separates us. And because of sin, He won't hear. I think how men talk as if a man, a woman can just be reconciled to God. That's all you got to do. See this fellow on TV, and he's taking his dad's place, and he's standing up there and says, all you got to do now is just pray this prayer. Done. Done. If you prayed that prayer, done. You're going to heaven. The Scripture says that God, because of sin, will not hear. Isaiah 64:7, there's none that calleth upon Thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of Thee. Why? For Thou hast hid Thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Because of sin, there is a wall of separation between man and God, and the only hope of salvation, therefore, is that Almighty God must do something for man that obviously man cannot do for himself. Now, if we're a sinner, and we are, and God is holy, and He is, and He will not hear, He will not hear, doesn't it stand to reason that God's going to have to do something? We're spiritually impotent. So don't think that it's just a minor thing. Fourthly, consider the consequences of dying without Christ, without reconciliation. What will happen if a man dies in his sins, dies without Christ? Matthew 22. Matthew 22. The Lord gave a parable about a marriage for His Son. This is a parable that sets forth what the Father has done concerning the Son Himself. And a marriage that's been prepared. Now listen, Matthew 22, verses 2 to 7. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Now, Almighty God has given His Son a bride. And He sent the gospel into this world to declare concerning His mercy and compassion of saving a people and the marriage of His Son to the church. And He sent preachers to preach that message. And this parable sets forth that left to themselves, men, women, when they hear the gospel, the declaration of the marriage, and they make light of it, and they despise God's preachers, and they talk and speak disrespectfully of them. The scriptures declare that there's coming a day when Almighty God's going to deal with them. And what's He going to do? He's going to cast them out. The Lord said that there's going to be a lot, Matthew 7, 22, 23, that will stand before Him in the day of judgment, justifying what they did. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name and done in Thy name cast out devils, Thy name done many wonderful works, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So here is the summation of what I've said so far. Man, born in Adam, is in a mess. He's in a mess. And but for the grace of God, he doesn't know it. He's ignorant of it. He disrespects the gospel. He disrespects God's preachers. He disrespects God. He has no respect. There's no fear of God before his eyes. And his moments on this earth are clicking off. And but for the grace of God, he's going to leave this world and all of a sudden he's going to realize, I have made an awful mistake. Everything that I thought was so unnecessary, everything that I thought was so trivial. I mean, we got stuff going on in this world we need to be concerned about. We need to be worried about some stuff. Solomon says, no, you don't. God's got it all in control, but there are some things we do need to consider. Consider the miracle of God's grace. That's my next point. Here's the only hope for a man. God revealed to his preacher, Moses, in Exodus 33:19, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. We're in a mess, born in Adam. I mean, we read the scriptures, and he told Adam, in the day you eat thereof, you're going to die. Well, that doesn't really register with men, women, by nature. But we're dead in trespasses and sins. And for God Almighty to rescue, he's going to have to show grace. Grace. Mercy. Mercy. God Almighty is going to have to bestow electing grace. God's going to have to choose to show mercy to somebody. He's not going to leave it up to men to make that decision. Because if he left it up to a man to make a decision, a man is dead, he's not going to make it. Mankind would perish, and God has been pleased that mankind is going to have salvation shown it. So God has chosen out of the mass of humanity, God chose a people. And God adopted them in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He trusted His Son, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and God predestinated them, determined their end, where they were going to be. Where are they going to be? They're going to be in glory with Him. And everything else that was associated with them being in glory, God Almighty ordered it. So He chose, I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll show compassion, grace to whom I will. And didn't leave it, like I said, to their free will. They don't have a free will. They're dead. Christ came into this world and redeemed them. Paid their debt. And because of redemption, God Almighty pardoned sin. God's people sin right now. And Christ, who paid the debt, God pardons it. No charge. And the Lord's going to keep them. He, according to His own will and purpose, put them in the person of His Son. The Son He loved, the Son He trusted, the Son of covenant agreement, who stood for them and said, I will answer. Now they've all sinned. We're all filthy. Righteousness, filthy rags. I'm going to answer for them. They're guilty. There's no doubt about that. We're guilty. But my God, the Apostle Paul said, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What was it going to take for God Almighty to save a sinner? Well, here's what it's going to take. The Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, is going to have to come into this world and walk before God for them. Now, all of God's elect are in Christ. And now here's the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. And God Almighty, now, on the behalf of the elect, is going to deal with one man. One man. All of God's elect, one man. And whatever he does, God Almighty is going to account that toward them. Whatever he does. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, And John said, we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He was full of grace and truth. Man, by his sin, was separated from God. And now, a man, by his obedience alone, can reconcile man back to God. The God-man, for a people of God's choosing. Now I'm telling you, he's doing this for somebody. He's not doing this, he's not just coming in there to make it possible. He's doing this for somebody. The Lord Jesus Christ, with all of God's people in Him, we're all there, lived before God in perfect obedience. Obedience that Adam never possessed. And as a man, he earned that perfect obedience that is referred to as the righteousness of God. A man obeyed God to God's standard. And that righteousness that is ours by imputation charged it to our account. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm not standing before God in my righteousness, because in myself I don't have a righteousness that God's going to accept. But His righteousness, He said of Him, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You hear Him. We had nothing but that which would be cast out. But His, God accepts. And concerning the justice of the law, which sin? Wages of sin is death. So He's earned righteousness for us. And the Scripture says concerning the law being satisfied, and the law is going to have to be satisfied. You run a stop sign and police officer catches you. Well, I mean, if it's the letter of the law, then whatever the penalty for that running that stop sign is, that's what it ought to be. With God, it is. But the Scripture says, Romans 5, 6, and 8, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, He, the Father, hath made Him to be sin for us, His people, who knew no sin, Christ, that we might be made the righteousness of God as Him. Our debt's going to have to be paid. And I'm sorry, I ain't going to get it. God is just. And just a little verbal confession ain't going to get it. God's going to have to do something that we can't do. And He did. He paid our debt at Calvary, the debt of His people. He paid it. And He earned a righteousness before God that God's accept. And now, being found in Christ, found in Him, no debt to answer for, and a righteousness that God accepts, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, that means after the way of man, thinking that he can reconcile himself back to God by the works of the law, not by the works of the flesh, but after the Spirit, by the Spirit's revelation that salvation is of the Lord. And lastly, consider the reward that we have being found in Him. This is the reward. Matthew 25:34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, come, not depart. He's going to say that to somebody that try to justify themselves. Come, ye blessed of my Father, not cursed of my Father, but blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom, not outer darkness, but the kingdom prepared for you by God's electing grace from the foundation of the world. What does he say? He said, my Father has always meant this for you. And here's the last consideration concerning this blessed truth. The way that God has been pleased to reveal His good pleasure to show mercy to any sinner is by giving that redeemed and regenerated sinner faith to believe what He's done for him. How do I know? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Almighty God has been pleased to save a people. He said, I'm a just God and a Savior. I pray that God bless this to our heart. I pray that the Lord comfort God's people and call out God's people. His glory and our good. Amen.